So here it is, Tuesday night, and Brother Patterson, how many's kept an outline of everything Brother Patterson's preached so far? How about a note in your Bible? All right, praise the Lord. It's good to be a note taker. You remember more when you write stuff down, even if you lose your notes again. Yeah, praise the Lord. Lord bless you, my friend, and preach with us.
Well, good evening.
Good evening.
You glad you're here tonight?
Yeah.
Are you glad you're here tonight?
Yeah.
Well, thank you. That's a little better. It helps encourage the preacher, you know, to get started. And, boy, glad you're here tonight?
Yeah.
Amen. God is good. It's good to be home. My wife made it home today safely from Ohio. And it said she's going to get there about 1:30. And then she stopped at JCPenney, and then she stopped somewhere else, and then she stopped somewhere else. Finally made it home about 5 o'clock, amen. So I don't know how a woman can shop so much. I just don't understand it, but hallelujah. You know, I asked her one day, I said, so how many pairs of shoes does a lady need? And my daughter is there, and my daughter says, as many as she can put in her closet and wear on her feet, amen. So that's good. I have about 6 pairs of shoes, but 3 pairs of those are work boots, you know. 2 pair of dress shoes and a pair of runaround shoes, you know. And I don't know why we need. I can get away with 2 pair of shoes, work shoes and dress shoes. And wear the same color shoes all the time. I got a pair of brown ones, but I haven't worn them yet, you know. I tell you, it just cracks me up. And I'm just thankful to the Lord for that I can be here again with you this evening. Look in your Bibles with me, the book of John. The book of John in chapter 12. John in chapter 12. And over in the book of John in chapter 12, I'd like to begin reading with you, if you'd stand with me. I want to begin reading in, probably right around verse 35. I'm going to begin reading verse 35. So John chapter 12, beginning in verse 35, here's what we read. Then Jesus said unto them, yea, a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you, and he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. Well, ye have, by the way, I leave a bathroom light on upstairs. If not, I kill myself getting from the bed to the bathroom at night. I'm not kidding you, I'm terrible anymore, you know. I have tripped over more things. My wife said, learn to pick up your feet. I said, I do, I just can't feel them, you know. So I don't know how, my left one don't pick up right, it tips anyway because that missing toe on there, you know. And I'm always tripping, always falling, and let me tell you, I stumble in the dark, amen. If I had the light on, I'm a little bit better off. He said, well, ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. That the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? There they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. Father, thank you for your word tonight. I pray you would use it one more time, Father. Move me out of the way, Lord. Let us see Jesus Christ high and lifted up tonight, Father. Help us, Lord, please. Help us to receive your word with gladness and joy, Father. And Father, again, if someone's not saved or questioning salvation, Father, help them tonight, please. Father, for the rest of us, just challenge us from your word that you be honored and glorified now. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. As I begin this evening, I just want to make a couple of statements and I'll give you the message. As we look at this text where he said, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. That they should not see. This does not mean that it was God's design or the design of God that they should not be converted. That's how some people take it. They say, well, that's why they say some are chosen for hell and some are chosen for heaven. That's not what he's saying. But it is the effect of them rejecting the message of God. They reject the truth of the Word of God. Because they've rejected the truth, their heart is hard, amen, and their eyes are blind. And you try to give the gospel to somebody in the world that doesn't want to hear it, their eyes are blind, and they're hard of hearing. They don't hear, amen. And so it's not because that God designed them that way, you know, to do that. Because we're all going to hell, but he designed the people would be saved, but the effect was because of the rejecting the message of God. This was the effect of them rejecting what God had. He said, they believed not, but though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. They rejected him. Did not trust him. Did not believe him. I'd like to preach a thought on you tonight with you, and based on this text, based on these thoughts a little bit. Are you calloused, converted, or consumed? Calloused, converted, or consumed? I want to just read some verses to you. You can follow along in your Bibles. Most of these I have printed out here this evening because I'm getting hard. You know, I had my cataracts taken off, and before I did that, I could read my Bible without my glasses. I can't read my Bible without my glasses now. I got good distant vision, and I put these on. I still can't read my Bible, amen. I'm just saying it's terrible, amen. So I have a bigger on my iPad, so I print a lot of stuff out of my iPad, so I can at least maybe not skip only 20 words instead of 50 words, amen. He said the callous. What's that mean? It means being hard or hardened towards the things of God. Hardened towards the things of God. Are you calloused in your life as a believer in Jesus Christ? You say, oh, Brother Mike, I'm saved. There's no way I'm calloused. Well, I don't know. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15, the way of the fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Is the way of the fool is right in his own eyes. Amen. And how many Christians do you know, or maybe how many times have you done something, and you say, this is right for me to do. But really, that's not what the Bible says. Amen. But we make that based on the flesh, not on the very Word of God. Psalm 14:1 says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Amen. There is no God. They are corrupt and have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. And he says again in Proverbs 21:2, every way of man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. He knows the heart. God knows when your heart is callous towards him. What is a callous? It's usually something that's built up. You think of calluses if you go out in I don't have calluses anymore, amen. I don't do anything anymore, amen. And I might have them on my thumbs from flipping through my Bible all the time, but I ain't got them on my hands. But, I mean, I used to have I had a company one time in Orwell, Ohio. I was looking for another job, and I went and put an application as ball bearing company. It was owned by a family. And they had a guy that would do the interview for you. And I sat down across from his desk. He was a hired individual. That's what he did, do interviews for people to get hired there. And so I turned in the application. He had me come in, sit down across the desk from him. The first thing he asked me was this: let me see your hands. Yeah. I said, okay. So I held my hands out. He says, you want the job? I said, well, I'll think about it. He said, well, you can have it if you want it. You got calluses on your hands. Right. He said, that shows you're a worker, you know. That weirdest interview I ever had in my life, amen. Let me tell you. But hey, I didn't take the job, by the way, because it was family owned. I got a better job than another, working in a slaughterhouse killing cows, you know. That was a good job. I didn't kill them, somebody else did. But we harden our hearts and become callous towards the things of God. The more we reject the Word of God, the more it rubs. The more it rubs, the more callous we become. So the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 8 through 10, harden not your hearts. We're commanded. Amen. Harden not your hearts, he says, as in the provocation in the day of the temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. He said, they tempted me, they proved me, they saw my works. They saw me 40 years. And they hardened their heart. And when were they allowed in? When all those who went against him died off, other than Joshua and Caleb, you know, they were able to go into the land. And here, you think about this now, and everybody else was gone except for those who were 40 years and younger. Isn't that something? That God had rejected them and said, don't you do that. Don't you be like that. Don't you act like that. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation. A calloused heart, a calloused attitude, a calloused mentality grieves God. And so the Bible says, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, the day of temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works, they saw it 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart. A calloused heart makes you to err. A calloused heart makes you to, they'll mess you up, man. They'll make you choose the wrong thing and go in the wrong direction and not follow the Lord God. So he said, they do always err in their heart, and they have, and this is the sad thing, they have not known my ways. And there's many Christians out there, they're saved. Amen? They're saved, but they don't know the ways of God. They don't understand the direction that God would have. I remember when I was first saved and witnessing to my brother, and somebody was having a out of my aunt's house, my brother said, I'm going to go out and get a couple of drinks. I said, you're a Christian now, you shouldn't be drinking. You know, this should be the farthest thing from your mind now is liquor, you know. And he said the Bible said, and then a friend of his was standing there, a friend of mine too, who wasn't saved, you know. Says, well, the Bible said Jesus turned the water into wine. And I didn't know all the verses back then, amen. But I did know this, that it wasn't liquor that Jesus turned that into. I said, you better learn the Bible and study the Bible before you make a statement. He wasn't even saved, but yet he knew the Bible, amen. Isn't it amazing? Idiots know the Bible more than believers do? Well, I tell you, they do all err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. They're callous to the things, to the truth of the very Word of God. But we're told as Christians in 1 Peter chapter 5, at verse 6 through verse 7, we're told this: Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, that he may lift you up. Humble yourself. Take that callus. How many of you ever use a pumice stone? You know what I mean? By pumice stone, you get that callus on your feet and you take that pumice stone and you roll. I can't reach my feet to do that, amen. My legs hurt, I can't bend them up. I can't cut my toenails because I can't feel my toes now. And I clip into the meat, you know, and cut me. And my wife says, you keep on doing that. She says, you're going to end up with an infection. They're going to cut your toe off. I said, well, if they cut the big one off on the right foot, they'll match the one on the left foot, amen, because it's gone. I'd be walking around a couple stumps pretty soon, amen. So she says, So she clips my toenails for me, you know. And she'll get the pumice stone out and have me soak my feet. She'll do my feet. And then, well, I love it, amen. She says, you need to find a podiatrist. Well, this is what my doctor told me. Because they will do that for you. I said, yeah, but it's not as nice, you know. I mean, you sit on the floor at my feet. That's where every woman ought to be. I get myself in trouble then, amen. I get to mess with her. That's where they ought to be right there, amen. And no, boy. She said, I don't think I'm going to do this anymore. I said, I love you, honey. I love you. I didn't mean it that way. Sure I did. Amen. mouthy old man is what I've become. Amen. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Humble yourself underneath him that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. He will exalt you, and you cast all your care upon him, and he careth for you. Boy, a calloused attitude is an attitude that will, it'll get you in trouble. It'll hurt your relationship. A calloused attitude will hurt your relationship with your family. It'll hurt a relationship with a wife, and it'll hurt a relationship with a husband. It'll hurt a relationship with children. It'll hurt a relationship with grandchildren. It will cause a relationship between parents and children, and parents and grandchildren and grandchildren and their grandparents. A calloused attitude is a terrible thing to have. A callous attitude will put you against your neighbor. You say, you don't know my neighbor, Brother Mike. Well, maybe if we change our callous attitude, maybe we can get along a little bit better and have the opportunity to lead them to the Lord. Amen. And somebody might say, well, you don't know my neighbor. No, you're right. I don't know your neighbor. And maybe your neighbor will get angry at you. Maybe he won't. But, sometimes how we respond and how we act and how we behave will determine how our neighbor treats us. Amen. No matter if they hate us or not hate us. It amazes me how many people I know that, and when I work, that didn't like me because I was a born again believer, saved by the very grace of God, and I cut no slack, preacher. I didn't make any difference who. But I was trying to be friends with all of them. But how many that didn't like me would come to me when they were going through a problem in their home and ask me to pray for their relationship with their wife, or ask me to pray for them because their wife's in the hospital, or ask me to pray for them. I went to the bank in Shepherd one time when I was pastoring, and I had the bank teller. She came up to the wait on me, and she said, "Preacher," she said, "would you do me a favor?" I said, "What?" She said, "This Wednesday night when you go to church," she said, "this is on Monday morning. So Wednesday night when you go to church," she said, "would you pray for my mother? She's in rehab, and I don't think she's going to be able to come out and come home. Could you just pray for her?" And I said, "Oh, okay." I said, "But what?" She said, "Well, let's pray right now." So I just bowed my head and started praying. You know, it got awful quiet in that bank. You know, people in this line over here, it got real quiet. People behind me got real quiet. She bowed her head and she closed her eyes, and I'm praying, because I looked up and she still had her eyes closed, starting to cry, you know, and she says, "Thank you so much." I came back in the next morning, she says, "My mother's doing great." I said, "Well, it's not because I prayed, it's just because God's faithful." Amen. Amen. God's faithful. And you asked for it, and we did it, and boy, I tell you, God is good, isn't he? Amen. But a calloused heart will cause people not to ask you things like that. You say, "Well, you're a preacher." That's what. No, I've had people don't know I'm a preacher, but see me praying in a restaurant and come up and say, "I'm glad to see you praying." Sometimes I'll ask the waitress when they wait on me, "Is there anything that we can pray for you about when we go to the Lord in prayer here in a minute?" I don't do that all the time, but we do that sometimes. I do that sometimes. I've seen people in restaurants get saved because of something like that, Pastor. Amen. Not that I led them to the Lord, but I was there when they got led to the Lord. You know, but a calloused heart will keep you from doing that. A calloused heart will make you say things like this: "He's a bum. He's in jail. He deserves to be where he's at, and he'll never get out, and he deserves that, and I don't care." That's what a calloused heart does. A heart that's not callous will say, "I need to visit him." A heart that's not callous said, "He needs the Lord." A heart that's not callous said, "Boy, if I could just see him get saved." Amen. I'm glad there are people who worked with me before I got saved that didn't have a calloused heart, brother. Amen. They had a heart of love. Show me Jesus Christ. Show me how I can be saved, born again, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Well, I tell you what, man, we need to humble ourselves before a holy God, casting our care upon him, for he careth for you. Matthew 11:28-30 says this. Chapter 11, verse 28-30. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." We saw that yesterday when I was preaching a little bit. And then he said, "Take my yoke upon you, and watch, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." And a calloused heart will make that burden feel heavy and hard. Hard and difficult. But he says, "No, my yoke is easy. Take it upon you, and ye shall find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Callous hearts. And then the second thought I see is in this, not just callous hearts, but converted hearts. Amen? Converted hearts. These scriptures you know, but what's it mean to be converted? It means turning from your sin and trusting Jesus as your Savior. Amen? Getting freedom from the condemnation, amen. Getting made free because of what Christ has done for you. So it means to be turning from your sin. But by the way, you could be saved and living a life that looks good, but not turning from sin in your life. You turn from it to get saved, and then all of a sudden you gravitated back towards something. A callous heart will cause that, amen. It'll cause that to happen. So we see in the scriptures, turning from your sin, I get the thought, unconverted, turning from your sin and trusting Jesus as your Savior. John chapter 6, verse 29 says, "Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he has sent." That's the work of God, converted. He wants to convert you. Believe on him whom he hath sent. John 6:29 says, "Jesus answered and said unto them," again, "this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent." John 1:12. "But as many as received him," as many, somebody told me one time, you don't receive Jesus, you trust him and ask him to be your Savior. Well, the Bible says there you receive him too, amen. Well, I tell you, receive Jesus. Oh, you don't receive Jesus in your heart. My Bible says if you receive Him, you're accepting Him. And why? How come we say the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, God the Father, God the Son, amen? Because the Son, the Holy Spirit, God, is living within you. You are, what? Know ye not that you're a temple of the Holy Spirit? Amen? When Cale was in Bible school for that year, pastor, they had, it was run a little bit different. It was out of a camp up in Michigan. It was and I think Maranatha College over in Wisconsin has taken that over now there. But you went for the year. You had to work at the camp all summer. Then you went through the year, and you had all these professors coming in and teaching, and pastors coming in and teaching. And at the end, you didn't have to take a test to pass. You, at the end of the year, to get a one-year certificate, you had to meet with these preachers in this room. And then they would question you. And then when they questioned you, you had to give them the answers. Well, Caleb's smart as a whip. He said, Dad, I watch these kids come in here, from evangelist kids, missionaries kids, pastors kids, and they don't know anything. He said, they talk about this in class. I've heard this. You've preached this, you know. And he just has that mind. And so he said, the one thing that they asked him was, Cale, because he's a big boy, you know. So, Cale, do you think if you maybe lost a little weight that maybe you'd be able to do maybe a little bit more for the Lord for a while? He sat there and gets a smile on his face. Well, I know the Bible says that we're a temple of the Holy Spirit. He said, but I'm just a mega church. I have a lot of friends that were under question. I knew every preacher was in that room, amen. You know how many times I've heard that now, amen, from all the preachers. I'm just a mega church, you know. Well, I tell you what, the boy ain't right in the head, takes after his mother, you know, what can I say? Romans 10:14, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed, and how shall they believe on him in whom they have not heard, and how shall they hear without a preacher? People need converted, amen. Not just a preacher that stands in a pulpit, but a person who lives the life of Jesus Christ, amen. A calloused heart will keep you from being a witness to those who are outside, those who are around. A calloused heart will keep you from telling them the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but there have been times in my 49 years of salvation, and times in my ministry, pastor, when my heart was getting calloused, rubbing it the wrong way. I don't want that. Amen. Maybe we just need to ask God to start shaving some of that off. Confessing some things to Him. Making some things right that He can use us to His honor and to His glory. He says in the book of Psalms chapter 116 verse 13, I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. Not just being saved. Well, I had that, and I'm going to, now that I'm saved also, I'm going to call upon the name of the Lord and ask Him to continue to work in my heart and help me to trust in the way I ought to as a believer in Jesus Christ. And it shall come to pass that whosoever what shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now that was Acts chapter 2 verse 21 and Romans chapter 10 verse 13, the same thing. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, I tell you what, my friend, we need to make sure that we are living the right way, that people might get converted, that they might see Jesus Christ, and we might have the gospel. I'm going to start using that, pastor, that John chapter 3, verse 16 through 17 there, 18, you know, verse 26 there, or 36, yeah, and then over in chapter 5, and then go back to Romans 5, 8, and then go, well, I tell you what, man, that's some good stuff, amen. And I like that. And I've preached that text. I've looked at that text, but I never used it that way. Hallelujah. God shows me something once in a while, too. Amen. And I didn't even get to preach it to learn it. Amen. Hallelujah. Boy, that's what I can steal from somebody. Praise the Lord. Well, then, we don't just have calloused and converted, but we have consumed. Are you calloused? Converted? Or consumed. What's consumed mean? It means wasted, burnt up, destroyed, dissipated, squandered, expended. I look back and pastor in 49 years, and I think I know, looking back, how much more I could have done for the Lord and how much more I should have done for the Lord, looking back. I like some of the verses talk about the ending being greater than the beginning, you know, the more and more. And I want my ending to be better than the rest of my 49 years has ever been. I really do. I don't want to go out of here, and boy, I hope you guys had the same mindset. You don't want to go out and have somebody standing over your grave and say, you know what he did before he died? He said he was a Christian. She said she was a believer. You know what they did before they died? I don't want somebody standing over my grave like that. Amen? I want my grandkids to be able to stand around my grave and say, Grandpa was an influence in our life. Grandpa talked to us about Jesus. Grandpa gave us spiritual counsel. You know, Grandpa was crazy sometimes. I mean, you know, I want to, and I know they will. My son's got some stories. My daughter said, I got some stories I'm telling at your funeral, Dad. I said, well, you better believe it because I'm not going to be there to hear it, so you'll be all right. Amen. But it means consumed, wasted, burned up, destroyed, dissipated, squandered, expended. Go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 6 just for a moment. We will turn to one tonight. How's that? Give you a chance to. So you can't say, Brother Mike, don't use his Bible with us. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 6 with me. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, I'm going to just begin reading down in verse 6 for a moment. The Bible says this, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. Having food and raiment, let us be there with content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. They wasted their life. Wasted their life. Believers wasting their life. Christians wasting their life. Preachers wasting their life. Evangelists wasting their life. Missionaries wasting their life. Amen. I tell you what, preacher. I know a lot of missionaries. I've had the privilege of meeting, man, missionaries from all around the world. I preach conferences with missionaries from all around the world. Get a chance to talk to them. And boy, I'm encouraged. But there's some of them I meet, and I just wonder. I just wonder because I don't hear anything. We had a young man one time when I was associate pastor of the youth at a church. I might have shared this here before, so humor me for just a minute. But he wanted to work one summer with this is back in the early 80s. Maybe mid-80s, he wanted to work one summer with the CEF program, you know. CEF home office back then was in Muskegon, Michigan, in Michigan's home office at that time. They moved since then, but that's where the home office was. And so he wanted to work for CEF. Well, he brought in, he said, Pastor Mike, would you fill this out for me? Because I have to have my associate or my pastor, my youth pastor, or my pastor of the church fill it out. And so I started to look at it, and I read it first, and I got down there a ways, and I said, I can't. And he was gone. I said, I went and talked to Pastor. I can't fill this out. He said, why? And I said, well, here, read this right here. He said, yeah, I don't think you can. You know, I said, well, I wouldn't be honest if I did. And the question was this: could you recommend him for work of this ministry based on what he does in the local church? He did nothing in the local church. Come to Sunday school. Never saw him on Wednesday night. Never saw him on Sunday night. Come to Sunday school. Wanted to work for CEF. He wasn't willing to be. I couldn't recommend him. Amen. Man, that family got mad at me. Woo! They get mad at me. But Mom and Dad approached me and told me the same thing. And I told them, I said, here's why I can't recommend them. They got mad at me, you know. Pastor says, I'll stand behind you, you know. But how can we? He's wasted his life and wants to be in the ministry. It don't happen. If somebody is not doing something for the Lord now, they will not do it just because they go to Bible college. They will not do it just because they think they pastor a church pastor. If they're not doing something now, they'll never do anything later. Boy, it's sad. They squandered their life, expended their life, destroyed their life, dissipated the works that God would have for them. They burned it all up. I like what Job says in Job chapter 1, verse 21. And he said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return hither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." We need to remember that it's the Lord that gave, and the Lord will take it away. And we ought not to waste the time in between the two. Amen. He's given us life, given us eternal life. We ought not to waste the time from the day that we get saved until the day that we die and go home to be with Him in glory. You are precious in the sight of God. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 22, verse 17, you see the last invitation of Scripture given. And I'm going to apply this two ways. One way is this: "And the spirit of the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will let him take the water of life freely." Now let me ask you a question. If the Spirit of God speaks to your heart because there's some area you've been calloused, some area where you're not doing what you ought to do in the conversion maybe of others, or because you've been converted, or you have wasted, you know what he's saying? To you and to me, come, make it right, get it settled. Amen. Get it settled. It's too easy to waste our lives, and it's too, man, I tell you, my friend, how many of you like to see your neighbors get saved? I got a neighbor living right next to me, not the one that's two houses down from me. I bought the place off of them, pastor. They're holiness, but they go to church every service. They're great people, love the Lord, talk about Jesus all the time. Hallelujah. Amen. The neighbor across the street that plows my driveway in the winter, a young guy, plows my driveway, digs out around my cars, cleans my cars all off, and only charged me $20. Amen. Well, he's a Christian. He said, "I hope that when I get old..." I said, wait, what do you mean old? You think I'm old? He says, "When I get your age..." He said, "I hope somebody would do that for me." He says, amen. But they're believers, but one right next door to me, not believers. Amen. And my wife and I try to be a witness to them all the time. We've not been to their house. Their sons are quite a character and a little shy. Don't want you in the home. But I get to talk to them around over the fence when their dogs come out. We give their dog a doggy biscuit all the time, you know. We keep a bucket out by our water hose so when the dogs are out there, we can call them over and feed them, you know. And try to make friends. They need to come. But I don't want to do something in my life that will tell them, stay away. I want them, something in my life to say, come. If you're not saved, come to Him. If you've hardened your heart and become callous to the touch of God, then come to Him. If you're consumed by the cares of this world, then come to Him. If you're burdened down, then come to Him. If you want to give up in your Christian life because of the difficulties and the hardships that have gone on in your life, then come to Him. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I don't know, again, where you're at tonight in your Christian life. I don't want to know. I don't need to know. But I do know this. The Lord spoke to your heart. You ought to come up to the altar. If you can't kneel up here, you need to kneel at your seat or sit on your seat. Just stay set down in a minute. So if you would, let's stand to our feet. And the Lord spoke to your heart. Did God speak to your heart tonight? Anybody raise your hand and say, "God spoke to my heart tonight"? God bless you, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. Why don't you come? Remember, He says, come. Just get those things settled between you and Him. And if you want to sit in your seat, you can. You can do it that way too. You don't have to come up here. You can just sit in your seat. Father, again, we thank You, Father, for Your wonderful grace and your wonderful mercy. Father, help us as your children not to be calloused to the truth of the things of your word. But help us, Father, to live our conversion. Help us to want to see others get converted. Help us to do what we ought to do as your children, to honor and to glorify you. And Father, we are so consumed sometimes because of the cares of this world. I pray, Father, you help us, God, to push those things aside, to trust you, to walk in your will and your way according for our lives, that you'd be glorified and honored. Father, you're so good to us. You're so good to us. God, if we could just understand your goodness, Lord, I think it would help us tremendously as your children. You're good to us, Father, when we're not like we ought to be with you. Thank you, dear Lord, for saving our souls. Thank you for being our help. Thank you, Father. Thank you and praise your precious, holy, loving name. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. These can go back to the seat when they're ready, and I'll turn it over to Pastor.
Appreciate the message tonight. Calloused, consumed, converted, and praise the Lord for that. Appreciate that. It's easy to get calloused again sometimes, especially in this world we live in. And so, what was that stone you said to hone off a callous?
Pumice
stone. Never heard of that. Mm-hmm. So let's get the pumice out, I guess. Praise the Lord. I thought pumice was some kind of chickpeas cooked with.
Okay.
Praise the Lord. It's good to be saved. Let's sing that. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich and free. Lord bless you for being in the Lord's house tonight. Be back tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. Lord bless you.
I'm not saying they're all.